your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make dab in the middle of it. Grass make dab in the middle. We are grass make dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We've got some breaking news today. We've got a varied number of subjects. We're going to cover the John Brennan scandal that's been breaking out, and also Bruce Orr, you know, and his wife Nellie connected in there with the dossier, the Steele dossier and stuff, and it just goes on and on and on. But first, I'm going to bring you a couple of news items that are about 4 years old, and it's about John Brennan spying when he was head of the CIA on the Senate staffs, you know. And there's a couple of clips here. I'll play one of the breaking news, and then I'll play the apology from Brennan. But here you go. Listen to these two clips, and I'll make some comments between the two clips. Thank you for listening, being with us this evening.
CIA Director John Brennan apologized today after an internal investigation determined the agency had spied on staff members of the United States Senate, something Brennan had long denied. More on that now from Bob Orr in Washington.
It's the spies versus the Senate. In January, the CIA accused Intelligence Committee staffers of improperly accessing classified files while investigating the CIA's harsh interrogations of Al-Qaeda prisoners. Senators fired back, accusing the CIA of spying on the committee's investigators, an allegation CIA Director John Brennan flatly denied.
As far as the allegations of, you know, CIA hacking into, you know, Senate computers, nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, we wouldn't do that. I mean, that's just beyond the scope of reason.
But the CIA's own Inspector General determined the agency did spy on Senate investigators. IG findings released today revealed five agency employees improperly accessed committee files and reviewed some of the emails of committee staff members. In addition to his apology, Brennan ordered a broader internal review. On Capitol Hill, Senate Intelligence Chair Dianne Feinstein said in a statement, "These are positive first steps. This IG report corrects the record."
Now, all of this is preliminary to the main event. The committee's long-awaited report on the interrogation program itself is expected to be released in the next week or so. And, James, it's expected to be highly critical of the CIA's actions after 9/11.
Bob Orr and our Washington News Bureau, thanks.
So there you go. You have John Brennan, CIA, spying on the staff of the Senate there and got caught. Feinstein, I think, that was part of her staff that was being spied on. So she raised a little bit of hell about that. Now, we're going to go to another clip here of this scandal. This is about 4 years old, and it's John Brennan apologizing. Here we go right now.
A potential bombshell of an apology today from the head of the CIA to the Senate Intelligence Committee for peeping into their computers and spying on Senate investigators who were looking into CIA practices. I want to bring in CNN's chief Washington correspondent, Mr. Jake Tapper. Jake, the CIA issued a statement just a short time ago. What are they admitting to?
Well, they're admitting to having told some false statements before. Specifically, there's this question about this investigation by the Senate into practices, interrogation practices, that the larger community and according to the Geneva Conventions are torture. And the question, of course, is what the Senate Intelligence Committee staffers were doing and whether or not the CIA was snooping on them in any way. It turns out that despite protests by the CIA that they had not been snooping on what the Senate Intelligence Committee staffers were doing. They were, in fact, and his statement comes forward today saying, quote, CIA Director Brennan was briefed on the CIA Office of Inspector General's findings, which include a judgment that some CIA employees acted in a manner inconsistent with the common understanding reached between the Senate Intelligence Committee and the CIA in 2009 regarding access to the specific computer. The director of the CIA subsequently informed the Senate Intelligence Committee chairman and vice chairman of the findings and apologized to them for such actions by CIA officers as described in the Inspector General report. We should keep in mind that this all started back in March. When Dianne Feinstein, the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, went to the floor of the Senate. She's usually a pretty big defender of America's intelligence community, and she was very angry talking about how there had been snooping on her own staffers. Yeah. And this is what Brennan, the director of the CIA, said in March when asked about that. Take a listen.
As far as the allegations of, you know, CIA hacking into, you know, Senate computers, nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, we wouldn't do that. I mean, that's just beyond the scope of reason in terms of what we would do.
Now, Don, what's key there is nobody is saying that these were Senate computers. These were CIA computers. They were set up specially. So he's being a little cute by half there. But we have some Democrats on the committee very, very alarmed. We have Mark Udall, a member of the Senator, Mark Udall, saying that he has lost confidence in Brennan, saying that he's concerned about his inability to find any flaws in the agency he leads. And then Senator Ron Wyden, who's demanding a full accounting of what went on, he says outright that Brennan made claims that were simply not true. There's going to be a big briefing on this at 3 o'clock for the members of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and we'll see if any more shoes are going to drop after that.
Oh, you know, these things are really happening, and things are so out of control. You know, it's unbelievable. It's worse than any novel, any little cheap novel that you buy down there at the corner drugstore or something. You know, I mean, I guess you used to. But anyway, this is getting so ridiculous and outrageous, you know, in scope and everything. And what we have coming up next would be some background on John Brennan. He was, at one time, head of station in Saudi Arabia. And there's evidence that has surfaced now. This was back before 9/11 happened. This is before he became director many years later. But he was chief of station there in Saudi Arabia. We have evidence and testimony that he converted over to Islam at the time. And then also we have further evidence that he approved some of the hijackers that were authorized visas coming into this country, that he was chief of station, and the policy was to allow some of these people in, I think under the sort of head is that they decades earlier, it was to fight the Russians in Afghanistan. But there are people that are testifying that he did allow some of those possible hijackers on 9/11 in to this country with visas that they were first denied through the normal process at the embassy over in Saudi Arabia. So this guy has quite a background. He can't be trusted. And here he is getting up on television on the MSNBC and CNN and all that and calling the president, dishonest and unworthy of being president and treasonous and things like this. But, well, we have some further clips that would state that Bongino has written a book, Spygate, and he's saying that that John Brennan was behind this whole Russian, collusion to try to take Trump out of the race initially and then to take him out of the presidency with some, you know, kind of impeachment charge or something. But anyway, we have another clip coming up here about John Brennan, and it's about whether or not he lied, you know what I mean, about the dossier. And this has been in contention. There's evidence that's quickly developing that John Brennan knew about the dossier sooner than he has admitted to. Just recently with an interview with Rachel Maddow, he said he didn't know about it, about the dossier until sometime December 2016, I think, is what he's saying during that interview. Other people have testified and are of the opinion that he learned about it much earlier than that. But anyway, we've got a clip coming in up here about whether he's been lying about the dossier. Here we go. Listen to this carefully.
Well, on Twitter, you may read former CIA head John Brennan spouting off about the political news of the day, attacking the president's dishonesty, he says. But it turns out Brennan himself is a liar. He's been caught lying. Odd for a government official. Last year, for example, Brennan told Congress that the infamous Steele dossier had no influence at all on the intel community's claim that Russia interfered in the 2016 election. Here's a selection.
Do you know who commissioned the Steele dossier?
I don't.
Did the CIA rely on it?
No.
Why not?
Because we didn't. It wasn't part of the corpus of intelligence information that we had. It was not in any way used as a basis for the intelligence community assessment that was done.
Ooh, busted liar. By the way, Brennan, you should know this, is an NBC and MSNBC paid contributor now, needless to say. Two top former intel officials, though, dispute his claim, the one you just heard, that the dossier formed no part of the corpus of intelligence used by our government to spy on the Trump campaign. Retired National Security Agency Director Michael Rogers and former Director of National Intelligence Jim Clapper both admit now that the Steele dossier and its Clinton campaign-funded allegations did, in fact, influence the intel community assessment. We knew that, but it's nice to hear it confirmed. Molly Hemingway is senior editor at The Federalist, and she joins us tonight. Molly, I know you've been following this carefully. A lot of these stories seem to lead back to this guy, John Brennan. And you would think, as the former head of the CIA, he's someone you'd be able to trust, but he seems not only a liar, but an inept one. Misreading this?
We have a problem with multiple heads of intelligence agencies, and that does include Brennan, who has a history of lying specifically about spying on American citizens. So it's difficult to hold him, take him seriously. But we've also had problems with falsehoods being said also by James Clapper, who gave inconsistent testimony about his leaking to the media. And we have also had problems with James Comey himself, whether he understands what a leak is and how he has been involved in it. But one of the things that's interesting is Clapper and Comey have been so much a part of this story, and we've seen their names a great deal. But Brennan has been able to kind of stay out of the limelight until recently, where people are starting to piece together just how integral he was to the entire Russia narrative. So, for instance,
there was
Please
go ahead.
Yeah, he actually launched the investigation. He's bragged about how he was involved in launching the investigation. He also was really key in briefing Harry Reid, which Harry Reid has said he understood that he was being briefed by Brennan specifically, so he would leak that information and get it out to the media and also pressure James Comey. And then, these other things that are interesting that are coming out now about how he claimed that the dossier wasn't used, which made no sense already, because we know the dossier was used to secure a wiretap against someone in the Russia investigation. And also just...
Right.
It just stands to reason that it would have been included. But now we actually have people who do have a little bit more integrity, particularly Mike Rogers, saying that, of course, it was used in the intelligence community assessment.
It's becoming clear that a lot of the secrecy surrounding these activities is designed not to protect the United States from foreign threats, but to protect the misdeeds of the people gathering the intelligence. It's CYA.
Yes, it does seem that has become a big part of the operation. Whether people got in over their head, whether they were led astray by Brennan and they did things that maybe they shouldn't have done, it does seem that a lot of what we've seen in the last few months is about attempting to keep people from finding out the full extent of what was happening. Today, the New York Times did report, based on just a widespread leaking from people who were involved in the investigation, that yes, people are now admitting they were spying on the Trump campaign in a fairly widespread fashion. It wasn't just Carter Page. It was four top officials. They weren't just using FISA wiretaps. They were also using national security letters and human intelligence, at least one human intelligence source. So this is busting wide open, and I think people will start demanding a little bit more in terms of just what the FBI and other intelligence agencies were thinking when they began spying on the political campaign of a major party.
Liberals used to be worried about things like this, not anymore. Molly Hemingway, thank you. Thanks for that.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
That was Tucker Carlson reporting, and he's beginning to really stand up there and do a fine job in getting the truth out on these scurrilous scandals, you could say, that have been going on. And it is just getting so crazy. You know what I mean? It just goes on and on and on, you know. But next we have Dan Bongino, and he's written a book called Spymaster. Spygate. And he's proposing in there that John Brennan was the a mastermind behind this Russian scandal to take and start portraying the Trump administration during the campaign and after as colluding somehow with the Russians undermine that national election. So here we go next with this clip about from Bongino's book and so forth. Listen carefully. It is great. And then I'm going to follow it up with some quotes by Hannity about security clearances and things like that. Here we go.
Dan Bongino was a former Secret Service agent and the author of the new book, Spygate, The Attempted Sabotage of Donald J. Trump. Dan, thanks a lot for coming on tonight. It seems to me if the press has any role at all, it's to make certain that people who've amassed an enormous amount of power, power to affect your life, ought to be under relentless scrutiny. And yet what they're telling us on the other channels all day long is that it's somehow immoral for us to ask obvious questions like, why would John Brennan have a security clearance as an NBC employee? Why are they tamping down any effort to ask obvious questions about what our government is doing?
Well, you would think so, Tucker, but we're dealing with a modern-day Pravda. You understand that John Brennan was the puppet master of the entire scheme to violate the civil liberties of Donald Trump and his team? John Brennan was that guy. John Brennan, Tucker, tweeting today about his principles. I thought it was a joke. I had to check for the blue check mark. John Brennan has no principles. This is a disgraceful human being who nearly destroyed the reputation of the intelligence community. Tucker, on August 25th of 2016, John Brennan himself, this is a fact, it's public record, went and briefed Harry Reid up on the Hill about elements in the dossier that then made it into a letter from Harry Reid to the FBI that was used as a predicate to spy on the Trump team. And we're supposed to trust this guy? This guy should get off Twitter and hire a lawyer.
Well, but I also thought we were supposed to be impressed by him. I mean, I don't call me naive, but I grew up imagining the heads of our intel agencies were sophisticated and intelligent. Everything I have ever read by John Brennan is banal. It's a cliche. It's pompous. It's stupid. He doesn't seem like an impressive person. How did he wind up running the most powerful intel agency in the world? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure, because when I worked in the White House, I remember crossing paths with Brennan and found him to be a narcissistic fool, just like he is now. This man is really a disgrace and a stain on the United States, whose legacy will only be as a cautionary tale told to future CIA leaders about how not to act. Tucker, keep in mind, too, back as far back as 2015, left-wing reporters, because they thought they had a Trump collusion conspiracy, which never existed, were reporting on Brennan's contacts with foreign intel about Trump and his relationship with the Russians that never came to fruition. Suspiciously, some of those foreign intelligence heads resigned right after the Donald Trump election, rather abruptly. They were communicating with John Brennan, who, by the way, also is on the record saying on TV with Chuck Todd and others and in media appearances that he still has no hard evidence of collusion, yet he weaponized the government in order to attack Donald Trump. He needs to slither away quickly.
How's the next president going to deal with this? I mean, now that, you know, the veil has been removed and we have some sense of what's going on beneath, will any president ever trust any intel agency ever again not to undermine him?
You know, Tucker, I'm not sure about that. And that's really what upsets me, having served under two Democratic presidents as a Secret Service agent. And listen, I'm a sinner like everyone else. I'm not looking for your pat on the back or anyone in your audience. The taxpayers paid me well to do it. I never once thought, even in my own books, about taking a personal shot at Barack Obama using my experiences. Never. You just don't do that. When you sign up for public service, no less run the CIA, and then you turn around and turn to Twitter to attack the sitting president? No, he's a stain on the country. We deserve better than this.
I think that's right. Dan, thank you very much for that.
Boy, that was powerful. Dan Bongino is a straightforward and upright person. But coming up next, we're going to have Hannity sort of succumb much of what's been going on about this week and several different subjects. And he's coming up right next. So here we go right now with Hannity, Sean Hannity, and a varied number of subject topics.
All right, so after years of serious misconduct, former CIA chief and Obama sycophant John Brennan can kiss his security clearance bye-bye. Today, President Trump stripped Brennan special government access. Now, Sarah Sanders announced this decision earlier today. Take a look.
I've decided to revoke the security clearance of John Brennan, former director of the Central Intelligence Agency. At this point in my administration, any benefits that senior officials might glean from consultations with Mr. Brennan are now outweighed by the risks posed by his erratic conduct and behavior. Second, that conduct and behavior has tested and far exceeded the limits of any professional courtesy that may have been due to him. Mr. Brennan has a history that calls into question his objectivity and credibility. I am evaluating action with respect to the following individuals: James Clapper, James Comey, Michael Hayden, Sally Yates, Susan Rice, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and Bruce Orr. Security clearances for those who still have them may be revoked, and those who have already lost their security clearance may not be able to have it reinstated.
It is about time. For months right here on this program, we have been calling out Brennan over his serious and blatant abuse of power. For example, during his time as Obama CIA director, John Brennan was responsible for the proliferation of Christopher Steele's dirty dossier in an effort to take down then-candidate Donald Trump and legitimize salacious, unverified claims, Russian lies found in that dossier. Brennan actually leaked its contents to then-Senator Harry Reid, who then subsequently alerted the public in an open letter to James Comey. He pushed Hillary Clinton's Russian lies to purposely deceive and lie to you, the American people. Why? So he could sway an election. And despite all of this, remember, Brennan told Congress, oh, the CIA did not make use of the dirty dossier. That was a flat-out lie. And that, my friends, is a gross abuse of power. Brennan literally tried to use your federal government to weaponize the Clinton campaign's phony Russian opposition research against Donald Trump. It's beyond disgusting. And by the way, he's a walking, talking representative of why the American people do not have faith and trust in their government. And by the way, and speaking of talking, after stepping down as CIA director, John Brennan, well, he's done a lot of it. In fact, he took all his hatred of Donald Trump from the highest levels of the CIA, abusing his power, to his new job. He's now paid by a so-called news agency, Conspiracy TV, MSNBC, so-called news channel. He continues to peddle all this propaganda and misinformation and disinformation. How fitting. Take a look at the conduct from a former so-called nonpartisan CIA director who once had his fingers on every American secret we have. Watch this.
Donald Trump has badly sullied the reputation of the office of the presidency with his invective, with his constant disregard, I think, for human decency. He is, I think, the most divisive president we've ever had in the Oval Office. He is feeding and fueling hatred and animosity and misunderstandings among Americans.
I think there's a big question, first of all, in terms of those who are on Mr. Trump's national security team, whether they can continue to serve in good conscience an individual who basically betrayed his nation. What Mr. Trump did yesterday was to betray the women and men of the FBI, the CIA, NSA, and others, and to betray the American public. And that's why I use the term that this is nothing short of treasonous.
I think he's afraid of the president of Russia.
Why?
Well, I think one can speculate as to why, that the Russians may have something on him personally, that they could always roll out and make his life more difficult.
Mr. Trump continues to have his ignorance of the facts or willful disregard of them, again, just to follow through on these campaign promises that really were very flawed.
I and so many other former national security officials are speaking out because of the abnormal and aberrant behavior of Mr. Trump.
This is a very large and painful national kidney stone. The relief we feel afterward is going to be just exhilarating.
Now, for anybody that thinks that that man, that Trump-hating partisan, MSNBC hack, should have a security clearance, let me make this very simple and easy to understand. And by the way, I'll read to you from the official CIA rules. And by the way, all of you biased hacks in the media, you need to do your jobs. You need to tell your audiences the truth. What the rules of the CIA are, quote, in the case of former directors, the agency holds their security clearance and renews it every 5 years for the rest of their lives. However, that requires former CIA directors to behave like current CIA employees. So is what you saw, is that, you know, a man demeaning a sitting president of the United States on a daily basis on national TV, is that acceptable behavior for a sitting member of the CIA? Of course not. But the always indignant John Brennan, he's lashing out yet again today, writing on Twitter, quote, this action is part of a broader effort by Mr. Trump to suppress freedom of speech and punish critics. It should gravely worry all Americans, including intelligence professionals, about the cost of speaking out. My principles are worth far more than clearances. I will not relent. Mr. Brennan then followed that up with a more vitriolic appearance on, yeah, conspiracy TV, NBC. Take a look.
I do believe that Mr. Trump decided to take this action, as he's done with others, to try to intimidate and suppress any criticism of him or his administration. And revoking my security clearances is his way of trying to get back at me. I've seen this type of behavior and actions on the part of foreign tyrants and despots and autocrats for many, many years during my CIA and national security career. I never, ever thought that I would see it here in the United States. And so I do believe that all Americans really need to take stock of what is happening right now in our government.
I love getting lectured from former communists. This country is a better place tonight without that man having his fingers on America's most sensitive secrets. How a former communist ever became Barack Obama's CIA director is another insane part of all of this. Now, meanwhile, as Sarah Sanders announced, 9 other current or former official security clearances are also under review, including the liar, the leaker that is known as James Clapper. That would include James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Susan Rice, Peter Strzok, Bruce Orr, and others. My advice, clean it up now. Get rid of all these clearances. We could easily make the case all night tonight. Each of these disgraced or fired officials should lose their clearances permanently. But we'd have to take all night. But we do once again have other breaking news to talk about one of the people on that list. According to an exclusive report from Sarah Carter, we now have smoking gun evidence of the very special relationship between demoted DOJ official Bruce Orr and ex-foreign spy Christopher Steele, who put that phony dossier together. Carter has uncovered yet another series of texts tonight between Orr and Steele. In one text, look at this, Christopher Steele expressing concern about James Comey's 2017 congressional testimony, writing 2 days before that testimony, hi, just wondering if you had any news. Obviously, we're a bit apprehensive given the scheduled appearance at Congress on Monday, hoping that important firewalls will hold. Many thanks. Orr writes back, sorry. No new news. I believe my earlier information is still accurate. I'll let you know immediately if there's any change. Sounds like the firewall's in place. What are these firewalls? What did Christopher Steele have to hide? And what was Bruce Orr trying to cover up? And why was Monday so important, as we said? Well, that's the day that James Comey was set to testify before Congress, and Steele was afraid. Let's see, we know of the Senate Intel Committee and their scrutiny. He was afraid of media scrutiny. He wanted a firewall to hold. Firewalls, plural. Bruce Orr, Steele, had at least, we now know, 70 contacts. And meanwhile, Steele was just desperate to get his dossier in the hands of Robert Mueller. And under oath in Great Britain, we know that he couldn't even stand by his own fake claims in his Clinton-bought and paid-for dossier. He said, it's just raw intelligence. I don't know if it's true. Now, why is Orr still working at the DOJ? Why his wife worked for Fusion GPS? What was her role? Remember, we just discovered that they had another client besides Clinton. We just learned a Kremlin, a tied lawyer, and Russian oligarch. So Fusion GPS is being paid by them and the Clintons? And what about Glenn Simpson from Fusion GPS meeting with that Kremlin lawyer both before and after the now infamous 2016 Trump Tower meeting? That doesn't sound fishy to you? Mark it down on your calendar. These questions must be posed to Bruce Ohr when he testifies before Congress on August the 28th. By the way, why aren't those hearings public? We reached out to Ohr for comment. Shockingly, didn't receive a reply. Sarah Carter will have more details in her report. She'll join us in a few minutes. But first, we do have an update on the media's trial of the century. After just 12 days, closing arguments on both sides have now come to an end. Paul Manafort's defense is clearly relying on the terrible credibility of the prosecution's star witness, and that's Manafort's former business partner, Rick Gates. Despite him admitting to numerous felonies, T. Mueller provided Gates with a get-out-of-jail-free card in exchange for his testimony. It's like the case of, remember, Sammy the Bull Gravano, the gangster, who killed up to 19 people. And by the way, it's so many other seedy individuals that our justice system frequently offers up sentencing, get-out-of-jail-free cards, prosecutorial bribes, if you will, in exchange for testimony. It's a serious problem, frequently resulting in less than trustworthy testimony. But in the case of Paul Manafort, well, we should all be prepared, frankly, for a guilty verdict, and I'll tell you why. 95% of federal cases end up that way. And while the media, they'll cheer in unison if Paul Manafort is found guilty, you must remember this. This case of Mueller had nothing, zero to do with Russia, zero to do with collusion, nothing to do with Manafort's work on the campaign, and zero to do with Donald Trump. Why are we even here? We'll have more on this throughout the show. But now we turn to the midterm elections, which are only 83 days away. And as we predicted, well, the language of the left is getting downright disgusting, as it does every 2 to 4 years. In Tennessee, Democrat Steve Cohen urged Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn, who's running for the Senate, to jump off her bridge. By the way, they go high, we go, oh, something like that. Take a look.
The big orange president, that's not somebody from Knoxville. He's going to come down here and he's going to endorse Marsha Blackburn. Because Marsha Blackburn, if he says, jump off the Harahan Bridge, she'll jump off the Harahan Bridge. I wish he'd say that.
And if you really want to know how pathetic the Democratic Party is, well, just look at New York. Its governor, Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo, announcing his brand new campaign slogan. I'm not making it up. You have to see it to believe it. Take a look.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great. We have not reached greatness. We will reach greatness when every American is fully engaged.
America has never been great? Okay. Test at home. Name me one country in the history of mankind that has accumulated more power and abused it less than the United States, that has accumulated more power and used it to advance the human condition around the world more than the United States of America. It doesn't exist. No, we're not perfect. This is the same America that beat back fascism and communism and Nazism and Imperial Japan and has stood for human rights and dignity all around the world at great cost to this country. Now, of course, what segments on America's left would be complete without an overt threat to the President of the United States? Take a look. This poster from the band Pearl Jam showing what appears to be the skeletal remains of a dead President Trump outside a burning White House. And while Pearl Jam apparently wants the president to go down in flames, most Democrats, they'll just settle for impeachment. It is the cornerstone of what is their political strategy for 83 days, should they win in November. And no one has been more upfront about this plan than the de facto leader of the Democratic Party, Maxine Waters. Let's take a look.
Your birthday is on Wednesday.
Yes.
So, Bree, happy birthday. But on Wednesday, if you could be granted one birthday wish, what would that be?
I guess now my biggest birthday wish would be that we're able to get a leader of this country who represents us. I would wish that we could remove him from office and go about getting the kind of president that we could all be proud of. And if he's not impeached, if he cannot be impeached, 2020 is coming up, and I believe that American people are going to do the right thing for our country, stand up for what is right, and get rid of this man who is embarrassing us all.
Well, today, Maxine Waters' birthday wish, it didn't come true, but President Trump did honor her 80th birthday on Twitter. He wrote, quote, "Happy birthday to the leader of the Democratic Party, Maxine Waters. On this program, we'd also like to wish Congresswoman Waters a very happy birthday. And to celebrate, well, we put together a montage of the very best of the leader of the Democratic Party that would like to take power in 83 days. Take a look.
The Senate Intel Committee, with the House
Reclaiming
Intel
my
Committee,
time. Reclaiming
with the
my time.
Judiciary
Reclaiming
Committee.
My time.
Okay.
Reclaiming
Matter of
my
fact,
time.
Mr. Secretary, the time belongs to the gentlelady from California.
Perhaps, Mr. Chairman, I don't understand the rules because
Reclaiming
I thought I was
time.
Allowed to answer questions.
Reclaiming my time, would you please explain the rules and do not take that away from my time. With this kind of inspiration, I will go and take Trump out tonight. And I will fight every day until he is impeached. Impeached 45. This is a bunch of scumbags. That's what they are.
Those are very
who
strong
all
words, Congressman.
Organize around making money. The fact that he is wrapping his arms around Putin while Putin is continuing to advance into Korea.
Now, from all of us who support the president and his agenda, keep it up, Congresswoman Maxine Waters. Now, the most honest voice in the Democratic Party.
It goes on and on and on. Coming up next, we're going to have something about Bruce Orr is the linchpin of these latest revelations on these scandals, ongoing scandals, because he and his wife have been involved with Christopher Steele in the dossier, the Steele dossier, and then they come back in with Peter Strzok with the FBI, and they're all colluding and meeting together and things like this. So it really gets really out of hand, and all this stuff, these emails and stuff, have been added now. But here we go with this Bruce Orr linchpin. Here we go right now.
Joining us tonight, Chris Farrell. He's Director of Investigations and Research for Judicial Watch. It's great to have you with us. How deeply do you believe Orr to be connected to Christopher Steele, the former MI6 spy, and to the entire effort to discredit first the president's campaign and then his administration?
Well, first, that's a devastating piece of journalism by Catherine Herridge, probably the best single recap I've heard. And it points out that Orr is the linchpin in all of this. Through his wife's connection or employment at Fusion GPS, and then him taking information and funneling it back into the FBI and DOJ, you know, operating way outside the scope of his authority, really abusing his position in office. Mm-hmm. This shows literally the components of the conspiracy, the connections between the persons involved, their contact, the frequency of contact, the subject matter, all of it circles around Orr at this point. And it's the indictment that's been put forth in the report by Catherine Herridge, it's devastating.
Devastating, but we have seen other devastating evidence as we have been going through this long national nightmare, the Mueller witch hunt. What will come of it? What can come of it? Once again, the American people are frustrated, even as Congress will be talking with Bruce Orr, because we're not going to have a window, nor will we be able to hear his words. It is very tough to continue on this path, where even those who are trying to provide oversight are not able, or at least at this time, clever enough to come up with a way to share the revelations with the American people.
Well, I think, you know, service is being done here to get that message out, Lou. Let's be clear that, you know, in the case of other conspiracies or other scandals, you've heard the expression drip, drip, drip. Well, there's now a mountain of evidence of these connections, of all these characters that Catherine laid out. And it's at a point now where it cannot be ignored. The layers of the onion are being peeled back. It's a slow, tedious process.
I'm sorry, Chris. I've got to ask you. I mean, you would think that the Department of Justice couldn't ignore any of the material, the evidence, the items, the documents, the texts that have come forward here. You would think that the FBI could not. And to the credit of the FBI, at least, its office of the Inspector General has done a credible job in trying to bring that information forward. But we're a long way from solutions here.
We are, and that rests upon the head of Mr. Rosenstein, who is blithely sitting by feeding the fires of the Mueller witch hunt and scrupulously ignoring the mountain of evidence that's been built up, pointing in the exact opposite direction of an incredibly corrupt FBI and DOJ attempting to steer the outcome of a presidential election.
And John Brennan, the former Obama CIA director, attacking relentlessly the president of the United States, his security clearance lifted. I cannot tell you how appalling it is to hear a number of people who, frankly, I think have great credibility and great standing, defending his free speech rights as a reason not to lift his security clearance. Your reaction?
Look, Brennan has gone off the deep end. He's discredited himself. He's disgraced himself. None of these former officials, whether they're heads of departments or agencies, none of them are owed a security clearance. It's a privilege, not a right. And his conduct has been so outrageous that he's disqualified himself, to include his op-ed today in the New York Times. And frankly, an awful lot of these guys, these former whatever they used to be, who still hold on to clearances, you know, they're leveraging that. It's a resume.
Let's be honest. They're monetizing it. They're living off of it. It is a pass to the party for those who want to stay in the swamp and prosper and to do so under this in this club of those who possess security clearances. And most often, it seems to be for no good reason, certainly no reason that is in the national interest.
President Trump's decision to revoke Brennan's clearance is one of the best, smartest things he's done. It's anti-swamp, and it's anti-corruption.
I want to very quickly read you something from Senator Richard Burr, who is the chairman of the Senate Intel Committee. And for the first time, represented by his statement released by his office today, he is defending the President of the United States. He is quoted, "Director Brennan's recent statements purport to know as fact that the Trump campaign colluded with a foreign power. If Director Brennan's statement is based on intelligence he received while still leading the CIA, why didn't he include it in the intelligence community assessment released in 2017? If his statement is based on intelligence he has seen since leaving office, it constitutes an intelligence breach. If he has some other personal knowledge of or evidence of collusion, it should be disclosed to the special counsel, not the New York Times. If, however, Director Brennan's statement is purely political and based on conjecture, the president has full authority to revoke his security clearance as head of the executive branch," end quote. I think that is a suggestion of a real change in the tides of affairs in Washington. What do you think, Chris?
I agree, and I'm glad that Senator Burr finally woke up and decided to step up and do something positive and state the facts as they are. So I'm encouraged by it. He's kind of dropped the ball other places, but on this point,
this is the first time he's ever defended the president. I think there's a reason, and I think the reason is that The evidence is so compelling that the Clinton corruption, the Obama politicization of all of the intelligence community, and then pursuing ideological ends at the expense of the national interest is the reason that I think we have seen a turn in what I think is going to be a substantial turn in the tides of this affair, the end of the Mueller witch hunt, certainly in the offing.
The winds have shifted.
Yes, sir. Chris Farrell, thanks for being among those who helped shift those winds. We appreciate it. Good to see you.
Thank you, Luke.
We have some breaking news out of England, and we've got Sky News that's been reporting on it around the first of this month. And then also we have other people that are reporting. You listen to this audio clip here in just a second and see what you think. And then I'll follow it up with a written report, a news report from Sky News. So this is about Julian Assange having received a letter from our Senate and our Senate committees to testify about what he knows about how he got some of these emails from Hillary's server and things like that. So listen to this second.
This is a breaking news alert.
Some huge news today for Julian Assange. He just received an unexpected letter from the U.S. Senate that could change everything. According to Jim Hoft for the Gateway Pundit, he reports that Julian Assange, he is the one man who knows who supplied the Podesta Clinton emails to WikiLeaks. And it took the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee a year and a half to call him in for questioning. Yes, this is a big deal. So it does come as quite a surprise that they requested Julian Assange to testify. Take a look.
Because the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee has sent a letter to Julian Assange asking him to testify on alleged Russian meddling in America's 2016 presidential election. Well, let's get more details now from Anastasia Chalkner. He's following the story for us from London. Anastasia, good afternoon to you. Just go through them. What exactly is in this document?
Well, Andrew, indeed, the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee has sent a letter to the Ecuadorian embassy in London where, as we all know, the WikiLeaks publisher has been holed up for the last 6 years. This letter is addressed to Julian Assange, basically calling upon him to testify in what is being described as a closed interview at a mutually convenient time and location. Now, given we all understand Julian Assange has made it clear he has no plans to be leaving that embassy anytime soon out of his own free will, potentially, this is going to be some kind of question and answer session that is probably going to be taking place via some kind of web link. Now, to be clear, the committee has clarified that the topic of this testimony would be Russian interference in the U.S. elections of 2016. And we have seen the WikiLeaks or Julian Assange's legal team already react to this letter, saying they would be open to this kind of testimony, but it must conform to a high ethical standard. So we'll be keeping an eye on when exactly this happens and whether or not some kind of information comes out of what is discussed.
Our source is not the Russian government and it is not a state party. This is something a 14-year-old kid could have hacked. So the actor that they've tried to bring in is the Russian intelligence services.
Hillary Clinton stated multiple times, falsely, that 17 U.S. intelligence agencies had assessed that Russia was the source of our publications. Mm. Okay. That's false.
Now, Assange has repeatedly said that Russia, as you just saw, was not the source of the Podesta emails. WikiLeaks is apparently considering the offer. This is huge. If he comes in, this is the actual letter. As you are aware, the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence is conducting a bipartisan inquiry into Russian interference. As part of that inquiry, the committee requests that you make yourself available for a closed interview at a mutually agreeable time and location. Please respond in writing. If you have any questions, you can give us a ring, right? So here is the actual WikiLeaks response. U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee calls editor Julian Assange to testify. Letter delivered via U.S. Embassy in London. WikiLeaks legal team says they are considering the offer, but the conditions must conform to a high ethical standard. Now think about this for a moment. You know he's at the Ecuadorian embassy. He's been holed up there. Now there's talk about him being kicked out, right? He's also wanted here in the United States. So what happens? Does he go to the United States and be arrested? Or does he have some? Is he able to have a hearing in the Ecuadorian embassy where he is still claiming asylum? Some huge developments, especially because this is about the Russian collusion story and that he could point it right back to Hillary Clinton or he could point it to Seth Rich or he can whatever he knows. And he's alluded to the fact that it was Seth Rich for quite some time. If that is the case, all bets are off. The Seth Rich murder suddenly becomes even more critical to the story than we believe it is now, because we will have absolute congressional testimony from Julian Assange that it was Seth Rich. That's what most people believe. It could also be the Iwan brothers, too, who worked for Debbie Wasserman Schultz in the IT department. I think that's a possibility. But Seth Rich, I think the Seth Rich angle is hired simply because of the WikiLeaks connection and how WikiLeaks responded to his death, looking for his murderer. So if this all happens, holy cow, man, this could change everything. But, you know, WikiLeaks has already stated they will never reveal the source, but he knows who it is. Will he break his own code by going to and revealing it to the Senate? But here's the caveat. What if he does it behind closed doors and it's not in a public setting? He does reveal it to the Senate Select Intelligence Committee, therefore, in some way, still shielding the standards that WikiLeaks has. Hopefully, they can pull this off inside the Ecuadorian embassy before he is removed forcibly. So, this is a huge story. The revelations, the implications of the revelation could have long-lasting effects on this Russian inquiry, especially if it points directly at Hillary Clinton calling for the hit on Seth Rich for giving those emails to WikiLeaks. Comment below with your thoughts. We'll see you at the next report for the next news network. I'm Gary Franchi. Head to GadgetsWithGary.com to check out the latest Franchi-approved survival, emergency, and everyday gear. Now, I use this stuff, and so should you. Go to GadgetsWithGary.com and be ready for whatever life throws at you. Go to GadgetsWithGary.com. Thank you for watching that report. If you want more, subscribe to the channel by clicking on the Next News Network logo right here. And you can watch our latest news reports by clicking here. Or for the latest breaking news, click right here. Also, if you want to watch the most viral news on the channel, the news reports that Hillary and Obama hate, then click right here.
So Sky News goes on and says, published on about the 1st of August, that WikiLeaks has published a letter apparently from the U.S. Senate committee investigating Russian election interference asking Julian Assange to give evidence. They're talking about it may be a fabrication, that this might be a put on, but Assange came up with this, I guess, and so forth. But it's very interesting. It looks official. They have a copy of the letter. They're not stating how the interview would be conducted because he's still in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, Julian Assange is. And so it's very questionable about how this is going to be pulled off yet, even though you could get an internet connection into his room or into a conference room within the embassy, Ecuadorian embassy. That wouldn't be hard to pull off at all. But anyway, that's just coming from Assange, so to speak. And getting back to this whole corruption, what we're seeing now, I started off this first hour, with some clips about John Brennan having forced to, first he denied the CIA was wiretapping senatorial staff members, okay? So our U.S. Senate, the CIA was wiretapping and eavesdropping on their conversations. Now, so what Trump said, of course, he used the word wiretap. So he started accusing them of doing him that way. And by gosh, it looks like, you know, it looks like it could very well be the case. And Dan Bongino is saying, yeah, John Brennan is the one behind this whole thing. But if he's not behind it, then you got to seek a little higher authority. And then you got to go to President Obama. And there was meetings that Susan Rice attested to in the Oval Office and so forth. And there were people that were taking and doing all kinds of things, distributing information around about Trump. There were intercepts and emails and things like that that were privileged and private information. So they have been after him. Now, you start beginning to ask, what's the real problem here? Well, Trump is reviving the American business system here. And also, they have all worked out in the past They worked out all their little tariffs in between their companies and between the countries they operated in. And they're happy with the net profits that they're making, see. Because they're receiving advantages of all this system the way it is. Well, Trump comes in, he says, look, I want to level the playing field. They don't want a level playing field. These internationalists and elitists and so forth, they have no allegiance to any country whatsoever. So what they're all about is maximizing the profit, see. At the same time, they're using techniques through the Tides Foundation and others to finance the opposition. So they're and also they put forward this inclusive capitalism idea, not far back, a few years or so ago, that they're going to make inclusive capitalism, see. But when you own the central banks, you're not going to make anything inclusive. And these people that occupied Wall Street were highly misled. They're well-intended, you know, in many cases about the money system, but they should have been in there occupying the Fed, not Wall Street. And it's just like when we get back and start talking about Ron Paul and Rand Paul. And Rand Paul, he called early on to take John Brennan's security clearance away. He's standing up, he's saying things. He called him a liar at one time in the Senate floor, on the Senate floor. That Rand Paul has guts. And so we've got to get back to the Ron Pauls in the world and the Rand Pauls and the people that will end Nunes. You know what I mean? He is standing up guy too, and the Jim Jordan and all that. I just can't remember all of those names right now. But we have some very, very men and women in our Congress that have a high level integrity. And they've been overshadowed and outperformed by these politicos up there, see, who are going for the big money. But in the 50s in this country, there were millions to be made, then it moved into billions and then hundreds of billions. And so it started like a specter operation. You know, it was already there, but it got bigger and bigger because it got into the billions. I remember some senator out of Arkansas said one time, he said, well, you know, until it gets into the billions, it's not real money. But anyway, so I think Everett, you know, Senator Everett, man, he said that, I believe, years ago. So, you know, you can laugh about this stuff, but they have looted and they've plundered this country. And that's what we're having to try to overcome with a $20 trillion debt, a burden on us. And that's other obligations that are not even, that have to be funded into the future. We can work our way out of this, but we need to bring America back. And, you know, business-wise, let's do business and let's make profits and let's say that it's good to have a business and good to hire people and give people jobs and treat people right, too. We've got to do that, too. But, we've got to bring America back. We've got to bring business back. We've got to start coming together. We've got to overcome. I sat with a friend of mine. She's a liberal Democrat. And we both decided, look, we've been divided too much. We got to try to overcome this divisiveness that has been, you know, placed upon us, that has been created purposely to take us away from coming together. See, if we came together, we'd pump the swamp, you know, in Washington, D.C., but it's been so corrupted now that I don't know what's going to happen. I'm very sad. I had very sad feel moments about what we can really do in Washington, D.C., so we're just going to have to come together the best way we know. We broadcast every Saturday evening, 7 to 9, and from Austin, Texas. We've been on the air, be 12 years, November 1st, since 2006. But we want to thank each and every one of you for listening. And take this and download it. You can download it off the site, send it to people, and so forth. TheSecretTruth.com is the website. I'm George Butler, my co-host is Charlotte Littlefield. She's off tonight. But thank you a whole lot for listening. Good night.